السلام عليكم. خلونا نكمل. Let us continue from where we stopped. خلوني أسأل شي سؤال سؤالين قبل. Let me start with asking one or two questions. الحديث طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. What does it mean? Easy. This is easy. Oh. Come on. Why are you shy? Come on. Do you want to answer? Every accountable Muslim, male and female, has to learn the personal obligatory knowledge, a certain amount of the knowledge of the religion. Who narrated this hadith? Al-Bayhaqi narrated it. And who classified it as sahih? Do you remember? Al-Mizzi, yes, Al-Hafiz Al-Mizzi. As strong. How did he classify it as sahih, as strong as Hassan لغيره? Although some other scholars of hadith, I mean Hafiz, top scholars, they classified it as weak. So how is that? They didn't take in consideration all the routes. As for Al-Mizzi and others, they took in consideration all the routes. And this is why they classified it as a strong one. Barakallahu feek. Let me ask one more thing. Who copied that from Al-Mizzi? Like in which book? Who copied it from Al-Mizzi? من نقل عن المزي تصحيحه أو المزي في أي كتاب ذكر ذلك؟ بارك الله فيك. واو. Good. المنذري نقل عنه تقويته. الحافظ المنذري. Where? في أي كتاب؟ Where? In which book? طيب لحونا. هو كتاب مشهور للمنذري. It's a famous book of المنذري. مختصر الترغيب والترهيب. في كتاب في مختصر الترغيب والترهيب. In his book The Summary of الترغيب and الترهيب. This is a famous book of المنذري. الترغيب والترهيب. In which he mentions different hadith. Some encourage one to do good things for the reward. Others discourage from doing things because of the punishment. So this is his book. مختصر الترغيب والترهيب. Sorry. الترغيب والترهيب without مختصر. It's not the الترغيب والترهيب. This is for المنذري. مختصر لواحد غيب. طيب ما معنى الإله؟ What's the meaning of الإله? The God. الإله. يا دكتور وسام. مظبوط. The one who is attributed with الألوهية, which is the power of creating. من ذكر هذا التفسير؟ Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari mentioned this interpretation. MashaAllah. I'm posing the questions. You'll get your turn to ask. طيب خلونا نكمل. Let us continue. قال المؤلف وبعد فهذا مختصر جامع لأغلب الضروريات التي لا يجوز لكل مكلف جهلها من الاعتقاد ومسائل فقهية من الطهارة إلى الحج وشيء من أحكام المعاملات على مذهب الإمام الشافعي. The author said this book is a summary inclusive of most of the obligatory knowledge which every accountable person is obligated to know. This comprises the obligatory knowledge pertaining to belief, issues from purification up to pilgrimage, and some rules of dealings according to the school of Imam al-Shafi'i. بارك الله فيك. شرح ذلك أن هذا الكتاب يحوي أغلب أمور الدين الضرورية التي يجب على كل مكلف بالغ عاقل معرفتها. The explanation: this book contains most of the obligatory matters that every accountable person has to know. من العقيدة, among the matters of belief, والعبادات, acts of worship, واجبات القلب, the obligations of the heart, معاصي الجوارح, the sins committed by different organs, والتوبة and the repentance. How to repent. هذا لا يعني أن كل ما في هذا الكتاب, كل ما ذكر في كتاب المختصر من الفرض العيني. This does not mean that every single case mentioned in the book of المختصر is among the personal obligatory knowledge. مثلا معرفة نسب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الحد الذي ذكره المصنف من فروض الكفاية, إنما فرض العين معرفة أنه محمد بن عبد الله وأنه عربي, هذا هو الفرض العيني. For example, خليني أعيد العبارة. معرفة أنه محمد بن عبد الله وأنه عربي فرض عين, أما معرفة نسبه إلى الحد الذي ذكره المصنف هذا فرض كفاية. For example, to know that Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام is the son of Abdullah, this is a personal obligatory, a personal obligation. To know that he was an Arab, this is a personal obligation. Now to know the lineage up to Hashim, because the author mentioned the lineage up to Hashim, this is not a personal obligation, this is a communal obligation. So not every single matter mentioned in Al-Mukhtasar is among the personal obligation of the religion. الشخص إما أن يكون حصل القدر الذي يكفيه من علم الدين قبل البلوغ أو لا. إن كان حصله قبل البلوغ فإذا بلغ فهو قد حصله انتهى. إن كان لم يحصله فببلوغه يجب عليه، صار فرضا عليه أن يحصل من علم الدين المقدار الذي يحتاجه الآن، القدر الذي الآن يحتاجه فرض عليه أن يحصله الآن، ليس له أن يؤخر تحصيله. The person either acquires the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion before becoming pubescent, before becoming pubescent or not. If one acquires the knowledge, this knowledge, before becoming pubescent, then that's it. He acquired it. Once he becomes pubescent, he knows it. He does not need to go and acquire it. He has it already. If one does not acquire it before becoming pubescent, then once he becomes accountable, he or she needs to acquire what one needs to know immediately. One has to go and to acquire it now. مثلا لابد أن يتعلم أحكام الوضوء، أحكام ما يحتاج إليه من الطهارة، ما يحتاج إليه ليؤدي الصلاة في وقتها، ليس له أن يؤخر ذلك. For example, he needs to acquire enough knowledge to make proper tahara, proper purification, and to pray in time properly. It is not permissible for one to delay acquiring that amount. أما إن كان مثلا يريد أن يحج والآن ليس وقت الحج، بعد ما حان وقت الحج، فلو أخر ذلك بحيث يحصله قبل أن يدخل في عمل الحج، يحصل ما يحتاجه قبل أن يدخل في عمل الحج، ليس عليه حرج. On another hand, if he wants to make Hajj, but it's not the time of making Hajj yet, if he delays acquiring this the knowledge pertaining to that in a way that he acquires it on time, so he wouldn't be involved in Al-Hajj without knowledge, then he is not sinful. وهكذا المسائل على هذا التفصيل تكون. فالذي يجب عليه الآن هو علم الحال، أي ما يحتاجه الآن. So once he becomes pubescent عند بلوغه يعني، what he has to acquire immediately is what he needs immediately. المختصر فيه ما يزيد عن ذلك. As you know, المختصر, the summary, contains more than that. This book contains more than that. هلأ عادة ما يذكرون العبادات ويريدون بذلك الطهارة والصلاة والصيام والحج والزكاة. Usually the scholars they mention عادة يقسمون كتب الفقه كتاب الفقه عندهم مقسوم إلى أربعة أرباع. ربع للعبادات ربع للمعاملات وهكذا. إذا قالوا ربع العبادات يريدون به الربع المشتمل على الطهارة والصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج. Usually the books of fiqh most or many of books of fiqh are subdivided into four parts. The first quarter, which they call usually the quarter of ibadat, pertains to the matters of purification, prayer, zakah, fasting, and Hajj, pilgrimage. So the matters, the cases pertaining to those five matters, to these five matters, are considered the quarter of ibadat. Usually, this is the first quarter of any book of fiqh. عادة الربع الأول في كتب الفقه هو ربع العبادات. وعادة الربع الثاني هو ربع المعاملات، البيع والشراء والقراض والعارية والشركة والمساقات إلى آخره. And usually the second quarter pertains to dealings, buying, selling, etc. هذا الكتاب المختصر فيه أحكام العبادات وأحكام المعاملات وغير ذلك. This book contains a summary of العبادات, a summary of the dealings and other matters. وهذه الأحكام كلها على مذهب الإمام الشافعي رضي الله عنه. All those rules are according to the school of Imam al-Shafi'i. May Allah raise his rank. وهو أحد الأئمة الأربعة الذين ما زال المسلمون في نواحي الأرض يتبعون مذاهبهم. He is one of the four Imams whom أهل السنة in the different parts of the earth follow their madhabs. أقدمهم ولادة الإمام أبو حنيفة. كيف أقدمهم ولادة؟ The earliest among them is الإمام أبو حنيفة. ثم مالك وقد عاصره. Then مالك and they lived at the same era. ثم الشافعي وقد تتلمذ على يد مالك. Then الشافعي and he was at one stage the student of الإمام مالك. ثم أحمد بن حنبل وكان مدة تلميذا للشافعي. تتلمذ على الشافعي. Then أحمد بن حنبل and for a period of time he was the student of الإمام الشافعي. اسم الشافعي محمد بن إدريس. The name of الشافعي is Muhammad. His father's name was Idris. ولد سنة 150. He was born at the year 150 after الهجرة. توفي سنة 204. He died at the year 204 after الهجرة. سمي الشافعي نسبة لأحد أجداده شافع. He was called الشافعي because one of his ancestors is called شافع. That's why he was called الشافعي in reference to this great grandfather. ومذهبه يقال له المذهب الشافعي. His school is called the school of الشافعي. ومن عرف مذهبه وعمل به يقال له شافعي. The one who really knows the school of الشافعي and he follows it is called also شافعي. That is a follower of his madhab. يعني إذا واحد فقط مثلا سأل ما حكم مذهب ماذا قال الشافعي في ما هي أركان الوضوء عند الشافعي، فقيل له أركانه أركان الوضوء كذا وكذا وكذا، ما هي نواقض الوضوء عند الشافعي كذا وكذا وكذا، إيش ما هو حكم كذا عند الشافعي كذا حكم كذا كذا عمل بذلك. هذا على الاصطلاح لا يقال له من أهل مذهب الشافعي، هذا ما زال عميا. إنما إذا عرف أدلة المذهب ومن أين قال الشافعي هذا ومن أين قال هذا وعمل بذلك أخذ به، هذا يقال له شافعي. الأمر نفسه يجري على المذهب الحنفي وهكذا وبقية المذاهب. So if one asks, for example, what is the judgment, what are the integrals of wudu according to the Shafi'i school, he was told. What are the integrals of prayer? He was told that. What is the judgment of this and this according to the Shafi'i school? He was told that. Then he follows that. He followed that. This is not enough for that person to be called a Shafi'i. This is someone who is following a Shafi'i in those issues by knowing what was his ijtihad. The one who truly they consider him or her a Shafi'i, likewise a Hanafi, etc., is the one who knows the proofs on which a Shafi'i relied to say this and that and that. Likewise, the proofs on which Abu Hanifa relied to say this or that or that. Otherwise, the one who just knows that a Shafi'i said this about that, he said that about that case, is called in Arabic Ammi. I don't want to translate it as layman, no. But Ammi, I don't know how to translate it in English. They don't consider him enrolled in one school of the like most of the people. Most of the people, they are like that. Yani, including ourselves. I'm not excluding. بيقولوا العامي لا مذهب له. شو يعني هدية؟ هذا هو العامي. هو لا، هو المقلد، لكن المقلدون متب. هذا عامي، ليس من أهل المذهب، لا يعدونه من أهل المذهب، عامي، لكن حصل القدر الكفاية. So he is called عامي in Arabic. He is not enrolled in one of the people of this school or that school, but he has enough. He has what he needs. If he acquires what he needs among the matters of the religion, then he's okay. He's okay. ثم الشافعي رضي الله عنه من بني المطلب. Moreover, Al-Shafi'i was among the clan of Al-Muttalib. Al-Muttalib كان أخا هاشم جد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Al-Muttalib, the head of this clan, he was the brother of Hashim, who was also the head of the clan from which the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is. So Hashim and Al-Muttalib were brothers. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جعل لبني المطلب خصوصية. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned a specific merit about this clan, Al-Muttalib. قال شبك بين أصابعه وقال نحن وبنو المطلب شيء واحد لم يتركونا في جاهلية ولا إسلام. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام crossed his fingers and he said, we, he meant by that Hashim, Banu Hashim, the clan of Hashim, we and the clan of Al-Muttalib are like one thing. They did not leave us neither in Al-Jahiliyyah nor in Islam. يعني بنو المطلب دائما كانوا يناصرون بني هاشم، كانوا معهم كشيء واحد. Which means always the clan of Muttalib, they supported the clan of Hashim. Even after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام got the prophethood, they supported them. Even the blasphemers among them, they supported them. وكان الشافعي رضي الله عنه ذا عقل راجح. الشافعي had a very strong mind. مر بحلقة فيها بعض المشايخ المشهورين، لبعض المشايخ المشهورين يدرس فيها، يحدث بالحديث فيها، القدامى الكبار الشيوخ، ما وجد أحمد بن حنبل فيها. ثم مر بحلقة ثانية ما وجد أحمد فيها، ثم بحلقة ثالثة ما وجد أحمد فيها، ثم مر به فإذا هو بحلقة الشافعي. والشافعي كان سنه أصغر بكثير من أولئك، فقال لأحمد تترك فلانا وفلانا وفلانا من المشايخ وتقعد في حلقة هذا الفتى المطلبي. فقال له الإمام أحمد إذا فاتك حديث بعلو وجدته بنزول، ولا يضرك هذا، لا في عقلك ولا في دينك. وإذا فقدت عقل هذا الفتى المطلبي فإني أخشى أن لا تجد مثله إلى يوم القيامة. Did I mention in English? Nothing? Okay. طيب. Imam Ahmad, a person once passed by a circle in which an old big sheikh was teaching the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, narrating the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He didn't see Al-Imam Ahmad in that circle. He passed by another circle for another old sheikh, famous one. He did not see him there. By a third one, he did not see him there. Then he saw him sitting in the circle of Al-Shafi'i. And Al-Shafi'i at that time was much younger than those other sheikhs. So he addressed Al-Imam Ahmad by saying, you leave so and so, so and so, and so and so, and you sit in the circle of this young Muttalibi. Muttalibi means from the clan of Al-Muttalib. Al-Imam Ahmad answered, if you do not get a hadith through a short chain of narrators, you can get it through a longer chain of narrators. And that would not harm you. It doesn't harm you, neither in your religion nor in your mind. It doesn't affect your religion. It doesn't affect your mind. It doesn't affect your religious status. And it does not affect your mind. But if you lose the mind of this Muttalibi, then you might not find a such mind until the Day of Judgment. It means, it's clear, isn't it? The people who acquire the hadith of the Prophet like to acquire it through short chain of narrators, if it is a trustworthy one. He was telling him that. He told him, well, I have another thing. The mind of a Shafi'i, if I lose that, then from where do I get it? Now, if one of those old sheikh dies, I can get the hadith from his students. Yes, the chain becomes longer, but if the student is trustworthy, that doesn't harm me. But if I lose the mind of a Shafi'i, from where would I get a similar mind to learn from? This is what he meant. قال المؤلف ثم بياني, مش بيانه مثل ما بعض النسخ, ثم بياني معاصي القلب والجوارح كاللسان وغيره. The author said, the sins of the heart and of other organs, such as the tongue, are also included. شرح ذلك أن معاصي الجوارح السبعة أيضا مذكورة في هذا المختصر. The explanation. Likewise, clarifying what are the sins of the seven organs are mentioned in this مختصر. Or the sins committed by the different organs are mentioned by the مختصر. In this summary, in this مختصر. الأصل لبعض الفقهاء الحضرميين وهو عبد الله بن حسين بن طاهر ثم ضمن زيادات كثيرة من نفائس المسائل. The author said, the original book was written by the Hadrami faqih Abdullah ibn Hussein ibn Tahir. Many precious issues were added to the book. شرح ذلك أن عبد الله ابن الحسين بن طاهر العلوي نسبة لسيدنا علي يعني من حيث النسب، الحضرمي نسبة لحضرموت ناحية في اليمن، المتوفى سنة 1272 هو صاحب الأصل، صاحب كتاب سلم التوفيق الذي اختصر منه الشيخ هذا الكتاب. The explanation. A Hadrami scholar. Hadrami means from Hadramaut in Yemen. And this is a region that was full with scholars in the past. Up till nowadays, there are some knowledgeable people there. And they are all, they follow all of them, the Shafi'i school. So, a sheikh from that region, Hadramaut, called Abdullah, son of Hussein, son of Tahir, from the lineage of Al-Imam Ali, who died the year 1272 after Al-Hijra. He authored the book of Sulam al-Tawfiq that was summarized by Sheikh Abdullah in this book of which we are explaining. ثم زاد المختصر زيادات جيدة على الأصل. The author, he added, he didn't just summarize without adding anything. He added good additions to the original text. وهذا هو شأن الاختصار عند القدماء. This is how the old scholars used to summarize. ما كان شرطا عندهم أن لا يزيد المختصر شيئا. It was not a condition for them that the one who summarized the book does not add anything. So he added and he omitted whatever he found, whenever he found that it is proper to do that. قال المؤلف مع حذف ما ذكره في التصوف وتغيير لبعض العبارات مما لا يؤدي إلى خلاف الموضوع، وقد نذكر ما رجحه بعض من الفقهاء الشافعيين كالبلقيني لتضعيف ما في الأصل. The author said, on the other hand, the section on Sufism was omitted. Some sentences were changed in such a way that the subject would not be changed. In a few cases, the author mentioned what some Shafi'i scholars like Al-Bulqini preponderated in an effort, gave more weight, preponderated, in an effort to clarify what was weak in the original book. شرح ذلك أن الرسول شرح ذلك أن موضوع التصوف ما يتعلق بالتصوف قد ترك في هذا الكتاب. The explanation, the matters pertaining to Sufism are left out in this summary. ليس معنى ذلك أن أصل أمور التصوف ما ذكرت، لأن أصل التصوف إيش هو؟ إنما هو الاعتقاد الصحيح واتباع ما جاء به النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. إنما بعض الأمور الزائدة على هذا ترك ذكرها. ليس لأن التصوف الصحيح الشرعي شيء قبيح، إنما لأن الكتاب هذا المختصر هو للفرض العيني فقط، فلذلك ما زاد على الفرض العيني ما ذكره. There are matters pertaining to Sufism that were not mentioned in this summary. Not the basis of Sufism. The basis of Sufism are mentioned. The base of Sufism is to have the correct belief and to follow the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this is mentioned in this Mukhtasar. To follow the Prophet in the matters of purification, prayer, etc., leaving out the sins of the heart, doing the obligations of the heart, etc. All of this is mentioned in this Mukhtasar. But he meant issues that go beyond that. Those issues, the author did not mention them. Not because the correct Sufism, the true Sufism, is something bad, no. But because the author wants to mention in his book only what pertains to the personal obligatory knowledge and not what goes beyond that. This is why this section on Sufism was omitted. ثم في بعض المواضع يذكر خلاف الحكم المذكور في الأصل، لأن الحكم المذكور في الأصل يكون ضعيفا، يذكر بدله ما هو قوي، ثم يذكر أحيانا من رجحه كالبلقيني مثلا. Sometimes the author omits a rule which is weak in the original book, and instead he mentions the judgment which is strong. In many cases when he does that, or in some cases when he does that, he mentions who among the scholars gave this saying that the author is mentioning it more weight. Who among the scholars propendivated it? He might mention Al-Bulqini, for example. Al-Bulqini سمي كذلك نسبة، هذه نسبة إلى بلقينة بلدة في مصر. He was called Al-Bulqini in reference to a town in Egypt called Bulqina. اسمه عمر بن رسلان. His name is Umar, the son of Rislan. في وقته كان عالم الدنيا يقال له. During his time he was called the scholar of the whole world. Some scholars called him like that. A scholar of the whole world. قال المؤلف فينبغي عنايته به ليقبل عمله. أسميناه مختصر عبد الله الهروي الكافل بعلم الدين الضروري. The author said, hence one must pay true attention to this obligatory knowledge in order to have one's deeds accepted. The author named it the summary of Abdullah al-Harari, ensuring the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion. شبح ذلك أن كل منا مأمور بأداء أشياء واجتناب أشياء. The explanation, every one of us is ordered to do some matters and prohibited from doing other matters. Ordered by Allah, that is. وكيف يعرف الشخص ما يجب عليه فعله وما يحرم عليه فعله؟ ما يجب عليه فعله ليفعله وما يحرم عليه فعله ليجتنبه إن لم يتعلم. How would one know what are the matters that he or she is obligated to do, so one would do them, and what are the matters that one is prohibited from doing them? How would one know that except by learning? لذلك على الشخص أن يهتم بهذا العلم بهذا الفرض العيني. This is why one has to take care of learning this personal obligatory knowledge. لأن من لم يتعلم يريد أن يطيع الله فلا يعرف كيف فيعصي. Because the one who does not learn, even if he wants to make an act of obedience, if he does not learn how to do that, in many cases, what he does is to commit a sin. لذلك قال بعض السلف الجاهل يريد أن يحسن فيسيء. This is why some people among as-salaf said, one person among as-salaf said, the ignorant person wants many times to do good deeds, and what he does would be a bad thing. Because he is ignorant, he doesn't know how to do that. أما من حصل ما في هذا الكتاب وعمل به مع صدق النية فهذا يكون عمله إن شاء الله مقبولا عند الله. As for the one who acquires the knowledge mentioned in this book and he applies it with a good intention, then this person, his deeds would be accepted to Allah تبارك, by Allah تبارك وتعالى. إلى هنا أحد له سؤال. Up till here. Does anyone have a question? تفضل دكتور. فرائض والوصايا. لابد أن يتعلم ما يكفي حتى يبتعد بهذه الأعضاء عن الوقوع في المعصية. أحيانا أحيانا بيكون بيعرف أشياء كتير غير ذلك. شو سؤالك؟ بدك تراعي ما عليه أن يتعلمه الآن أولا، لا شك. لا، ما شرط يمشي على نفس الترتيب. That's correct. When you are teaching someone who's new, who didn't learn before, you don't need to follow the same order mentioned in Al-Mukhtasar. Rather, you follow what he needs. Before you teach him, for example, about al-zakat and al-hajj, and he doesn't have money to pay zakat now, and he doesn't want to go to al-hajj now, then go ahead and teach him about the sins of the different organs so he can protect himself from that before going back to al-zakat or al-hajj. Yes, of course. ما العامي من المقلدين، بس بعض المقلدين أعلى رتبة من درجة العامي، بيكون صار يعرف أدلة، مثلا أدلة الشافعي، أدلة المجتهد، بس ما بلغ رتبة الاجتهاد، فبعده مقلد لكنه فوق درجة العامي ودون رتبة المجتهد. قال له: إن فاتك حديث بعلو تجده بنزول، ولا يضرك ذلك في عقلك ولا في دينك ولا في عقلك، وإن فقدت عقل هذا الفتى المطلبي فإني أخشى ألا تجده إلى يوم القيامة. ألا تجده إلى يوم القيامة، يعني ألا تجد مثله، هذا المراد. The scholars of the religion are of different levels. The top level is a mujtahid. Someone who is entitled, who has enough knowledge, and has the tools to dedicate the judgments immediately, to deduce the judgments immediately from Al-Quran and As-Sunnah. العلماء طبقات، أعلى طبقة المجتهد، المجتهد المطلق، يعني الذي عنده من العلم والآلات ما يكفي ليستنبط الأحكام من الكتاب والسنة مباشرة. ثم يليه طبقة أناس عندهم من العلم والآلات ما يستنبطون به من أقوال الإمام لا من الكتاب والسنة، هذا يقال له من أصحاب الوجوه أو مجتهد في المذهب. The second level, the following level, is includes the scholars that have enough knowledge and tools to deduce judgments from the sayings of the imam of the school, like Al-Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Ahmad or Malik, and they are not qualified to deduce the judgments from Al-Quran and the Sunnah. Those are called in Arabic Ashabul Wujuh, or Mujtahid within the school. أصحاب الوجوه أو مجتهدون في المذهب، هذا أو هذا، من أصحاب الوجوه أو من مجتهد المذهب. الطبقة الثالثة أناس ما عندهم أهلية الاستنباط لا من الكتاب والسنة ولا من أقوال الأئمة، لكن عندهم الأهلية ليرجحوا قولا على قول، هؤلاء يقال لهم أهل الترجيح. The third level are those scholars who are not qualified to deduce the judgments from Al-Kitab, the book of Allah, and the Sunnah. Rather, they are qualified to give more weight for one saying over another saying within the school. يقال لهم أهل الترجيح. They are called the people of propendation. الطبقة الرابعة نقلة. ليس لهم أهلية لا للترجيح ولا للاجتهاد، إنما وظيفتهم أن ينقلوا ما قال الذين ما قال غيرهم من أهل العلم. The fourth level, which is the lowest level, are those who copy what other scholars said. They do not have, they are not qualified to deduce judgments, nor from Al-Quran or As-Sunnah, nor from the sayings of the Imam, and they are not qualified to give more weight for one saying over another. They are qualified just to copy what other scholars said. So you have those four levels of scholars. الطبقة الأولى هي التي لا ينطبق عليها اسم المقلد. والطبقة الثانية فيها تقليد في بعض الأمور، والطبقة الثالثة والرابعة مقلدون. The first level, المجتهد المطلق, are those who are not called مقلد. Also the second level in some issues, because they cannot, they don't have their own in some issues. The third and the fourth level are all among مقلدون, those who go by the sayings of other scholars. That's it. Now, lower than this fourth level come people like ourselves who acquire enough knowledge, alhamdulillah, and sometimes more than what's enough. And if the person works with that and applies it, and he would be among the successful people in the hereafter. طيب. نعم. At the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah. If you want. وفيك. طيب حد عنده سؤال؟ Does anyone have a... Go on. عند المتأخرين, the later scholars, they might call the, يعني among the previous scholars, they wouldn't call فقيه except المجتهد. That's all. They wouldn't call فقيه. يعني most of the famous scholars that we know about, according to as-salaf, they would not call them faqih. Now after, among the later scholars, المتأخرون تساهلوا فيها لأنه ضعف سوق العلم في أيامهم عما كان قبل ذلك. وإلا بالأصل فقيه والعالم والمجتهد ألفاظ ثلاثة لواحد. Originally, عالم, فقيه and مجتهد among السلف only referred to a مجتهد. That's all. تفضل.
أول المذاهب والمذاهب
أقدامها. إيه. ما هما ايش الموضعان؟ يذكرون هذين الربعين في الكتب. طيب خلونا نكمل. Let us continue then. ساعة بلشنا أي ساعة بلشنا قال المؤلف فصل يجب على كافة المكلفين الدخول في دين الإسلام والثبوت فيه على الدوام والتزام ما لزم عليه من الأحكام. هذا الفصل متعلق بضروريات الاعتقاد. This section pertains to the essentials of belief. The meaning of the testification of faith. It is obligatory upon all the accountable persons to embrace the religion of Islam, to remain steadfast to it, and to comply with what is obligatory upon them of its rules. This means that every accountable person must be Muslim, stay Muslim, and follow the rules of Islam. طيب. هلا المسلم لا نقول يجب عليه الدخول في الإسلام. إذا ما معنى قوله يجب على كافة المكلفين الدخول في دين الإسلام والثبوت فيه على الدوام والتزام ما لزم عليه من الأحكام؟ We all know that we don't say a Muslim has to embrace Islam. He is a Muslim. So why then how would it be translated? How is this translation put out there? It is obligatory upon all the accountable persons to embrace the religion of Islam, to remain steadfast to it, and to comply with what is obligatory upon them to, of its rules. Who answers? مين بيجاوب؟ How's that? يعني كيف عم بيقول غيرك أحمد؟ كيف عم بيقول يجب على كافة المكلفين الدخول في دين الإسلام والتزام ما لزم عليه من الأحكام والثبوت فيه على الدوام؟ والمسلم ما منقول لا نقول يجب عليه الدخول في الإسلام. شو يا أحمد؟ طيب ما في مسلمين، ما في مكلفين مسلمين، هو قال كافة المكلفين كلهم يعني، بس كيف؟ لا غيرك حاج، غيرك غيرك يا بغض. Come on, how's that؟ شو أم وليد؟ ايه ومظبوط هيك الحكم، بس العبارة ضبطي لي هالحكم، العبارة تتوافق مع هالحكم. كمان شو يا شباب؟ المكلف البالغ العاقل الذي بلغته دعوة الإسلام. إيه؟ المكلف المسلم ما منقول عليه الدخول في الإسلام. هو عم بيقول على كافة المكلفين، كل المكلفين. كافة يعني كل، كلهم كلهم كلهم. لأنه هذا كما يقول الشخص أنت وأنت وأنت، أطلب منكم أن تنقلوا هذه الأغراض وتمسحوا الأرض وتنظفوا النوافذ، ليس معناه أن كل واحد من الثلاثة عليه أن يفعل الأمور الثلاثة، إنما لو هذا فعل هذا وهذا فعل هذا وهذا فعل هذا انطبق الأمر عليهم، وهذا مثله. يجب على كافة المكلفين الدخول في دين الإسلام، هذا بالنسبة لمن لم يكن مسلما، والثبوت فيه على الدوام هذا بالنسبة لمن أسلم، لمن هو مسلم، والتزام ما لزم عليه من الأحكام. هكذا. This is like when you say to someone or to three people, I ask you to, for example, يعني because now we're in here, so let's take it this way, to wipe the floor, to remove the tables and to clean the windows. You do not mean by that you are asking each one of them to do the three matters at the same time. If one of them cleans the window, the other removes the table, and the third one cleans the floor, then you would consider that they fulfilled what you are asking. So when the author said that it is obligatory upon all the accountable people to embrace al-Islam, that is if they were not Muslims. To remain steadfast to it, that is for those who are Muslims, and to apply its rules, that is for those who are Muslims. الشرح المكلف هو البالغ العاقل الذي بلغته دعوة الإسلام. Explanation, the accountable person, religiously the accountable person, is the person who is sane, pubescent, and got the call of Islam, received the call of Islam. معنى البالغ البلوغ يكون للذكر بأحد أمرين، رؤية المني أو بلوغ سن 15 قمرية، وللأنثى بأحد أمور ثلاثة، رؤية المني أو بلوغ سن 15 قمرية أو رؤية دم الحيض. أي واحد من هذه الأمور الثلاثة يحصل أولا تكون بلغت به. بالنسبة للذكر أي أمر من الأمرين يحصل أولا يكون بلغ به. When we say to be pubescent, puberty means for a male to become pubescent. This means for one of two matters to occur with him. To emit al-mani or to become 15 lunar years year old. Any of those two matters that occurs first, by which this person becomes pubescent. For a female, it's one among three. The previous two, and on top of that, to menstruate. So any of those three, when it occurs, the female becomes pubescent by this. Sane means not to be insane, not to be crazy. العاقل معناه الذي هو غير مجنون. الذي بلغته دعوة الإسلام يعني الذي بلغه أصل الدعوة، بلغه أنه لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. To receive the call of Islam means for one to receive that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Just to hear that is enough for him to be considered that he received the call of Islam. إذا حصلت هذه الأمور الثلاثة صار الشخص مكلفا. If those three matters occur, take place, if one is pubescent, sane, and one received the call of Islam, then he is considered accountable. يجب عليه إن لم يكن مسلما أن يدخل في الإسلام في الحال. He is obligated to embrace Islam immediately if he is not Muslim. وذلك بالنطق بالشهادتين أو بما يعطي معناهما. This occurs by uttering the testification of faith, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Those two testifications, or what gives their meaning. I now testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. For example, فَإِنْ صَدَّقَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلَمْ يَنْطِقْ بِلِسَانِهِ فَهُوَ مَا زَالَ كَافِرًا. If one in his heart believes that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, he received the testification of faith, the call of Islam, he believed in it, but he did not utter, he did not say, he did not mention with his tongue, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or what gives that meaning, then such a person is still a blasphemer. إذن لا بد من النطق للدخول في الإسلام. So one has to utter the testification of faith to become a Muslim. إلا لمن كان عاجزا, except for the one who cannot utter it, then it is not a requirement on his part. الأخرس يكفيه التصديق بالقلب, like the mute person, it is enough for him to believe in his heart. فمن سمع أن للكون خالقا أرسل رجلا اسمه محمد ليبلغ عنه فهذا بلغته أصل الدعوة. So the one who hears that the universe has a creator and this creator sent Muhammad, a man called Muhammad, to convey to the people whatever Allah ordered him to convey, then such a person would be considered accountable. Of course, that is if he is sane and pubescent. وليس شرطا أن تبلغه تفاصيل عقائد الإسلام. It is not a condition for him to hear the details of the creed. This is enough for him to become accountable. أما من مات قبل البلوغ فليس عليه مسؤولية في الآخرة. Now for the one who dies before becoming pubescent, he is not accountable. So in the hereafter, even if he dies as a blasphemer, he does not enter hellfire. كذلك من جن قبل البلوغ ثم اتصل جنونه إلى ما بعد البلوغ حتى مات وهو مجنون. Likewise, the one who becomes crazy before he is pubescent, and then he remains crazy until after puberty, up till he dies, such a person is not accountable. In the hereafter, he is safe. Leish, who tells me why? Let's say someone is not pubescent, but he is 10 years old and he believes, he has a wrong belief in his heart. And then he becomes pubescent. But before becoming pubescent, he gets crazy. He remains crazy until becoming pubescent and then up till he dies. Why he would be safe in the hereafter? And why he is? Because he had a wrong conviction. He had a bad conviction, a wrong conviction,
Because he's not saved.
Why? I want taki. مين بيقول لي بدي هيك؟ هذا صبي يحتلم. فهمني اياها اكثر اوضح. مظبوط، بس فهمني اياها اوضح. بعدين بلغ ف هاي هي هيك واضحة، بتصير للي عم يسمعك واضحة، لأنه قبل البلوغ القلم مرفوع عنه وبعد البلوغ القلم مرفوع عنه، ما كتب عليه. Because before puberty the pen is lifted, that is whatever he had as a conviction or did, it wasn't written on him. And after he became pubescent also, the pen was lifted from him. So, no sin was written on him. That's why. فَمَنْ بَلَغَهُ أَصْلُ الدَّعْوَةِ يكون مكلفا بمجرد ذلك، ولا يشترط أن يعطى مهلة للتفكير في حقية الإسلام. Now the one who receives the call of Islam, he becomes accountable just by that, and it is not a condition for him to take a period of time to think about the truthfulness of Islam. It is not a condition to become accountable that he spends a certain time thinking about the truthfulness of Islam. Once he is pubescent, sane, and he receives the call of Islam, he becomes accountable by that. فَإِنْ مَاتْ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يُسْلِمْ إِسْتَحَقَّ عَذَابَ النَّارِ الْمُؤَبَّدِ. Such a person, if he dies without embracing Islam, he remains in hellfire forever. ويجب على الشخص أن ينوي الثبات على دين الإسلام. أي يجب عليه أن لا يكون عنده نية الكفر في المستقبل ولا التردد في ذلك. A person has to be steadfast to the belief of Islam, which means he has not to have any hesitation about committing blasphemy in the future. That is, he needs to be steadfast to Islam. He is firm that he is not going to blaspheme, and he does not hesitate about that. لأن نية الكفر في المستقبل كفر في الحال. Because if one intends to blaspheme in the future, then one becomes a blasphemer immediately. Likewise, if one hesitates. نقف هنا. Let us stop here. والله أعلم. Allah knows best. أحد عنده سؤال؟ Do you have any question? أي خالد؟ That is, he did not hear about Prophet Muhammad. He heard about another person. He was told that another person. No, such a person did not receive the call of Islam. No. By that, no. Salim first. I'll ask about that, inshallah. About what? Like what are you referring to? Be more explicit so I can answer you. The Hanafis, they say about believing properly in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even if the person did not receive the call of Islam, one has to have the proper belief in Allah. This is what Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said. The Maturidis, this is what they say. That he has, if he doesn't believe properly in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and he dies on that state, then he will be tortured forever. Alaykum as-salam. In hellfire. Both are sayings of Ahl Sunnah. Both are sayings of Ahl Sunnah. But not about the Prophet, because how would he know about Prophet Muhammad if he never heard about him? The proper belief in Allah, which means, if someone never heard the call of Islam, but he died after becoming pubescent and he is sane, while he was worshipping an idol, the Hanafis, they say he will be tortured forever in hellfire. They said because the mind only stands proof. What he's doing is against the sound mind, the proofs of the mind. That's why he is going to be tortured in hellfire forever. The Shafi'is, they say, yes, we agree that the sound mind does not accept to worship an idol. But there is a verse in Al-Qur'an, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولَهُ, which means Allah would not torture the people if they do not receive the call of Islam. They said because of this verse, we say he is not going to be tortured in hellfire. The Hanafis say this verse does not refer to that. This verse refers to the torture in this life, not in the torture in the hereafter. The Shafi'is respond by saying, but there is no sign for that in the verse. Apparently, it doesn't say that it's in this life. So you see, this is how it goes. So those are two sayings among Ahl Sunnah. نعم. أما لو سمع شخص عن الإسلام وفهم أو ظن أن معناه عبادة محمد هذا لا تكون بلغته الدعوة. If someone thinks he hears about Islam and he thinks that Muslims are people who worship Muhammad, for example, then such people wouldn't be considered that he received the call of Islam, would not be considered that like that, of course. What do you mean بدون لفظ الجلالة؟ هو الله هو الخالق. I'll ask for more details إن شاء الله. This is someone asked about moving the lips, etc. This is further details. Those are further details. We're not talking about that.
سمع مثلا عن الإسلام بس فكر إنه المسلمين بيظنوا إنه الله جسم مثلا وسمع لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله هذا بيكون بلغته الدعوة.
بسأل إن شاء الله. The one who is born as deaf, yeah, he is not accountable. Except if by some way he understood that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, then he becomes accountable. If this happens, usually it does not. But if it happens, then he becomes accountable. مطل بعد تفضل حاج بالأول. إيه. إيه.
بالدولة هون.
إيه.
هل هو سمع بالإسلام وأكيد.
بس ما بيعرف شو هو الإسلام.
هو ما تحقق منه هل هو غير مكلف؟
إيه منه مكلف هو سمع إنه هيك الإسلام منه مكلف. منه مكلف.
السلام عليكم شيخ سمير.
وعليكم السلام يا أحمد. لحظة. الحديث الحسن لغيره يعني يكون هذا الحديث لو أخذ كل طريق من طرقه على حدة وحده لما كان قويا، لكن اعتضاد الطرق بعضها ببعض هو الذي يقويه فيصير حسنا لغيره. ايه بنفس الحديث من عدة طرق، طريق تقوي الطريق الأخرى، ولو اعتبرت كل طريق وحدها لما كان قويا. هذا معنى حسن لغيره. تفضل
شيخ سمير. What's the basic message someone to be accountable
to hear that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Even if one knows Arabic, he hears the Adhan, that's enough. Because in the Adhan this is mentioned, that's enough to consider this person as receiving, someone who received the call of Islam, the basic call of Islam. Yes, Aisha. Does If someone who is not mumayyiz, then to be sane, you mean? No, sane means he is not crazy. This is what sane refers to.
So can a non-mumayyiz person be accountable?
No. No. Because someone who is 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old might not be mumayyiz and he is not insane.
Like an adult.
If they are not at the stage of mental discrimination, that they are, then they are not accountable. Because such a person does not understand what you tell him. Even if he hears La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he does not understand.
Yes, yes, Sheikh Samir. If a person doesn't speak the language and they heard it in the adhan, does that fall under being not accountable?
Not accountable, because he does not understand what's the meaning. Umm Walid. Hala, عند الناس بيقولوا شافعي ما ماشي الحال ما أنا مشكلة. لا ما أنا مشكلة بس نحن مشان أشياء تانية أنا عم بذكر هالشي. إيه شو هاي؟
عادة يقول في الذي بلغ البلوغ إذا رأى منيا ما هو سبب ذكر الرؤية؟
إذا علم يعني الرؤية هنا بمعنى العلم. Go ahead.
And you mentioned إلى الحاشم. I thought I heard it was إلى الأدنان.
What's mentioned in Al-Mukhtasar, it's mentioned up to Hashim. Also, to memorize the lineage of the Prophet up to Adnan is among the communal obligations. Yes. نعم, Doctor. ما بيقولوا مجنون.
مش مجنون. هذا ما بيقولوا مثلا
مميز.
لا.
إذا منه مميز منه مميز.
إيه يقال له منه مميز يعني هذا.
منه مميز.
مميز.
ليس مميز.
منه مميز.
منه مميز.
هلا في منه.
ليس مكلفا.
ليس مكلفا.
نعم. لأنه لا يعقل كالمجنون. لا يعقل. نعم.
شيخي. قد قرأ في كتاب لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله هو مكلف؟
أليس بلغته؟ أليس فهم ما قرأ؟ إذا فهم خلص بلغته الدعوة. عرف إذا عرف أن هناك رجلا جاء إلى الناس فقال يا ناس أنا رسول الله اسمي محمد أرسلني. هذا يكفي. أنا اسمه محمد قال يا ناس أنا رسول الله إليكم. هذا يكفي ليكون مكلفا. نعم
شيخ, هل تجوز اللعنة على الكافر الغير مكلف؟
بسأل إن شاء الله.
But he was physically unable to say Muhammad properly with his tongue. He said Muhammad instead of Muhammad. But he believed he would say Muhammad. Is he, one, judged as a Muslim? Two, is he safe in the air?
According to one saying. Well, let me know. Let me be. He says La ilaha illallah, then he says Muhammad. But he is not testifying that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He is saying that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And there is no messenger called Muhammad. He can say ha. Come on. Then we tell him to say Abu al-Qasim. He can't say Qaf. Then according to some scholars, Abu al-Qasim. Ga also, come on. Ga. If he is really unable to say that, unable, then he says La ilaha illallah while believing in his heart in the Prophet, and that would be enough. If he cannot, if he really cannot mention anything, he cannot say Muhammad, he cannot say Abu al-Qasim, Abu al-Qasim, then yes, this is enough. لا يكفي.
لو قال أبو إبراهيم.
لا يكفي. If he says Abu Ibrahim, although the Prophet had a son called Ibrahim, but this is not enough. خلونا نقول شغلي نوضح مسألة قبل، أنه إذا شخص سمع أصل الدعوة صار مكلفا، بعد ذلك إذا سمع أشياء أكاذيب عن المسلمين وعقيدتهم خلاص هو مكلف انتهى، لا يخرج من دائرة التكليف بذلك. If someone hears the basic creed of Islam, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and becomes accountable, later he might hear lies about Muslims, but that does not make him unaccountable again. Khalas, once he's accountable, he's accountable with this issue. إن شاء الله بيسأل. طيب بارك الله فيكم. خلونا نهل. Let's say لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله بكم.
Please take 20 minutes and then we're going to pray al-Dhuhr.